Can you guys hear me back there? They tell me that I talk too softly sometimes and nobody can hear me in the back, so. What a beautiful place this is. And this is so Jackson, this church right here, isn't it? I love it. I want to thank you all for being here today. It's so good to see all the faces out there. My name is Reverend Roxanne Jimerson Friday, and I am the first Native American woman to become ordained in the state of Wyoming Episcopal Church. But I'm also the first enrolled member of the Shoshone tribe to become ordained, the first. And I stand before you all, humbled, enriched by the hospitality and the generosity of your vestry and the clergy here. We were welcomed as your guests, and we will leave as part of your family. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, is considered one of the most dramatic of the post-resurrection narratives. John 21 captures the powerful rehabilitation and reconsecration of Simon Peter, the big fisherman. And at the heart of the story is Peter, the bold and brash, who made wild and wonderful promises, only to fall short in the moment of truth, when he acted as if he didn't know Jesus. And we would like to be critical of Peter, but I believe we all have a Peter moment that we need to overcome. Jesus was on trial for his life, and Peter denied him three times near the house of the high priest, Caiaphas. He denied Jesus three times. And you notice in the gospel that Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" But that would really have been the end of Peter's story. But Jesus was determined to bring about the resurrection of Peter. But I believe that Peter's story is a common occurrence in our lives too. Like Peter, we fall short of our best intentions. We have all had dreams that we would like to see come true. And Peter dreamed he would be involved with a person who would change the world. But like Peter, we set out with good intentions, only to fall short. We have hurt someone out there, perhaps intentionally, perhaps accidentally, but the pain and of disappointment is the same. And the years never dull the ache. I'm going to tell you a story about my sister. May she rest in peace. Someone I loved dearly. In our youth, she was the one who would be sneaky. You know what I mean? You all have a sibling like that, to be sneaky. She also liked to steal stuff from me. She lied to me. All these things, you know, little sisters. You name it, she tried it. But as we grew up, we grew to disagree on everything, everything. But we loved each other, sisters. But the one that we disagreed on the most was the alcohol and substance abuse that she was living, that kind of life. We had our ups and downs, but we always remained sisters in her hearts. Because in reality, she was my first cousin, and we adopted her. And she became someone I could trust and count on in her later years. But she had half-brothers and half-sisters, too. So she had like 20 siblings all together. It was incredible to have that much people you could call brother or sister. One particular time, and it had to do with me having temporary custody of her children. And I had them because it was due to drugs. And to make a long story short, because there's a big history in between that time, we argued in front of our kids. We had this blowout right in front of the kids, and I try not to argue or get mad in front of the kids. I try to have a calm demeanor. And then I pull them out of the room and start hollering. Because, you know, that's, I don't want to do that in front of the kids. But we did. We had a massive argument in front of them. And it ended like that for us, where she ended up, she got her kids back. But she immediately moved from Wyoming to Washington State. And we hadn't spoke for 3 years while she moved. 3 years later, and I missed her, I was on a business trip to Ocean Shores, Washington, and it's a 2-hour drive to Marysville, Washington, right outside of Seattle, where she lived. And I took the chance, rented a car, went to see her, and the moment we saw each other, we cried. We hugged. And we made a promise never to do that again. Because those 3 years we wasted. We wasted those 3 years. We could have been doing a lot of things together. And we not only hurt ourselves, we hurt our kids when we did that. And that is the moment that I call overcoming the Peter moment. I appreciate everything she did for me after, you know, we got together again, as well as she appreciated what I did. We had more respect for each other after that. I think we had the most respect for each other after that. It's because we didn't want to ever fall into that anger that we had for each other. But she really tried to fight those addictions, and I'm bringing that up now because we're fighting with that today on the reservation. Alcohol, substance abuse, and they're starting really young. The kids are starting pretty young. Her life ended in an alcohol-related car accident. It should have never happened. And that was 2 years ago. But we have, in this room, so many of us have a similar kind of story. The stories of redemption. Each of us felt like condemning somebody in our family, in our friends, for their faults. But Jesus didn't do that to Peter, did he? He didn't do that to Peter. And toward the end of my sister's life, she tried to turn her life around. She was helping me in my ministry to lead the Gentiles into the church. And I called them Gentiles, the people around me, because they won't come into the church. But she was able to lead the people that I normally wouldn't talk to into the church, that I didn't associate with, but she did. One of them was her brother, her half-brother. He was a high school basketball star, and he ended up becoming an alcoholic. And it was wonderful to see him walk into the church and sit in that back pew. Just sit there and smile. And just be happy to be sitting in the church. She brought him into the church. And she was out there telling people to come into the church. And she herself came and started sitting in the church. And so that's right before she died. That's what she was doing. Anything we do to belittle or reject anyone or imply such a person is not welcome in our midst, that is wrong and must be changed. So when we have reached overcoming the Peter moment, we change inside. So I'm going to switch gears here for a minute. For so many years, the Native American culture has been misunderstood by the white culture. And I'm just going to touch on this because we all know the history of the Native people. But we can't go back. We can't go back to that time and ask for apologies or changing it. There's no way to change that history. It happened. We can't change the genocide that happened to the people. But today, I stand before you as a descendant of those who survived. And I am your priest today because I want to lead the people into a healing circle. And I want to be the kind of person Jesus is asking Peter to be, to help those people who still are affected by that trauma of having survived. And it is now time to teach the Native American culture to the white culture. It's that time now. It's our time to teach the spirituality that our people have within ourselves. That moment has arrived. The Wisdom Center for Spirituality. It's a dream to unite cultures and the ways of the Native people so that others may know what that means. Reverend John Roberts started the churches over 100 years ago, and toward the end of his life, he understood the culture. He even learned the languages, both Shoshone and Arapaho, and that's incredible. That's incredible to be able to pick up that culture over that time. And so this Wisdom Center for Spirituality, what is it? And I thought of it like trying to grab something out of the air. How do you do that? How do you grab spirituality? It's not going to be easy, but the plan is already starting, and we have a long way to go. Now, the gospel lesson tells us that Jesus is giving Peter a second chance to redeem himself. It reminds us that we are to care for those around us, in particular those in need. Do we like Jesus or do we love Jesus? That's a critical difference. At this point, we see our Lord move away from the fishing language in order to embrace the critical call to a caring, shepherding ministry. We are to care for the physically hungry and the spiritually hungry. Within our circle of family and friends, we are to sustain and encourage each other, always in the name of Jesus Christ. And if we are parents or grandparents, we are to fulfill our duty, not just to the physical care of children, but also their spiritual growth and development. We will care for their souls and their faith, as well as their nutrition and physical welfare. There is urgency to all of this. And I'm asking you out there, protect your children, protect your grandchildren. They're being led in a different direction. And it's a terrible thing to reject God's invitation, but it is worse to have never received it. And Jesus' final words to Peter were, "Follow me." And like Peter, we are called to be in the world for others and to invite people to enter into a life-altering relationship with Jesus Christ. Follow me, as Jesus said to Peter, so that we may have eternal life. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, you have given us hope and prayer that you will continue to bless the people of St. John's Episcopal Church so that we may grow in grace and thrive in hope. Let us tend and feed the Lord's flock. May God bless us and strengthen us to that end. Amen.